Welcome back to the Stronger Business Podcast, where we are giving you the tools to build a stronger business than ever before. And what better tool to leverage than search engine optimization? Please welcome our guest, Mr. Bobby Holland, as he walks us through how to make the best use of our website in conjunction with SEO. And with that, I will turn it over to our hosts, Josh Melton and Chad Brown.
Welcome back to the Stronger Business Podcast. We have a really exciting topic today. We're going to learn about something every single business owner, entrepreneur, anything you're doing out there, you're going to want to hear what we're talking about today. We've got an expert on SEO, on Google search. How do you show up on Google? Why should you show up on Google? You know it's important. How the heck do I do it? My man, Bobby Holland, is here today in the studio to give us all the secrets. Welcome, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Today's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
There's probably, there's a lot of things I don't know anything about, but I mean, this ranks pretty high and I know nothing. But I do get pissed off when I Google search my businesses and I can't find them, but they don't show up. This just happened last week. I Googled the tax shelter and it showed up. We were in like Athens, Alabama, and I'm like, what? What is this? What is going on?
Yeah. So,
do we show up? When we do show up, is it even right? You're going to help us fix all of that today, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
So, Bobby, the first thing you could do for us, man, because there's some listener out there right now that's like Googling, what's SEO?
What's SEO? Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, search engine optimization is what we're talking about today. And yep. You are an expert at this. You've been doing this for a while, too.
For a minute. Yeah, I mean, it depends on, it's hard to kind of map it. Sometimes for me, it's definitely more than 10 years applying to client work. The name Bipper Media is probably around 8 years or so. It's kind of a different story. I basically started as a freelancer, and we can get into that, but started as a freelancer. It was growing as a freelancer, and I was also working simultaneously doing my other job, but then it grew to a point where the two sort of collided. And, you know, four kids, family, and there's only 24 hours in a day. So we got to a tipping point where we had to really choose either no more clients or no more anything else and just clients with SEO work. So that was the birth of what is now called Bipper Media.
So little random facts. Chad likes to know. I always have a secret for every podcast.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
There's always something.
It's always like some elaborate like detail behind it that may or may not be true, by the way.
Right.
So 95% accuracy rate on here. CDC has told me that this is accurate. Facebook independent fact checks. This checks out what I'm going to say to you right now. Bobby doesn't know this, but you're a speed of implementation guy. You get an idea, you like execute, you make things happen. You and Chad are probably like long lost cousins because he's the same way. Mm-hmm. One of the things I remember about you early on, before I ever met you, years before I met you in person, is that Bobby sent me a connection request on LinkedIn. I'm like, I don't know who this dude is, but this was like social networking was blowing up.
Yeah.
And so people were jumping on there. I had a social media type business at the time. So I like, if anybody ever connected with me and I was impressed with their content, I was like, oh, okay, let me watch this guy.
Yeah.
This was before Bipper Media. Did you have a business name before that, or were you just Bobby Holland?
It was just Bobby Holland.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I remember you being active on LinkedIn, and I remember at some point in time, when Bipper Media came out, I was like, oh, okay, it went to Bipper Media.
Okay.
So I was, you know, you connected with me, so I wasn't stalking.
Okay.
You invited me in.
Right.
But I was connected. And so watching some of the
interesting
of the journey for Bobby Holland and Bipper Media. So what was your job? So you had a job and you're doing, if you're freelancing, this is on the side.
Correct.
What were you doing as your
So I was a logistics manager at a Walmart distribution center.
Okay.
And whole different ball game of skill set.
Whole different ball game. And so the only way that makes sense is in the context going back even further, as in the military.
Okay.
Got out and
tell me about that for just a second.
Okay.
Because if I'm right, I could be wrong with this. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. Again, I didn't fact check this one on Facebook.
You can do a very good job stalking.
You weren't. No, I just can't. It's a long time ago, Chad. I'm losing my hair, Bobby, and I'm losing my memory. And that's why Chad's growing his hair out like that.
Right,
I'm losing
mine.
And he's like, check this out.
Trying to carry the weight for both of us.
Yeah, there's like a fan blowing in every room we're in. It just doesn't make any sense. You aren't like the lowest level of military, like you're a peon. Like, you had like, there was a little levels. significance to your military involvement?
Yes. I mean, if we want to talk about it, so
let us know what's up real quick
overview. In the military, I was a team leader in the 1st Ranger Battalion, and that's special operations, or special ops is typically what it's referred to. And we had, you know, the typical cohort of missions and whatnot, without getting too deep into it, but was SEALs, Delta. There's a lot of special ops in Air Force that most people don't like. People just think of Air Force as like, you know, shiny, clean, like people included. There's a whole special ops world. We did a lot of missions with them. But I was a team leader in the 1st Ranger Battalion, and that's in Savannah, Georgia, at Hunter Army Airfield, which a lot of people who are even familiar with Savannah, they don't realize there's an airfield right in the middle of Savannah, and right. That's Hunter Army Airfield. And that's where the 1st Ranger Battalion is. And that's where I was. So that's what I was doing in the military.
Yeah. So you weren't like the Chad Brown of military, lowest level.
I don't even
you were like the Josh Melton of military.
I don't even talk about SMU Google anymore. I got like a whole other impression.
I know. Level just,
I was in the unit in the military where hair was the biggest. No,
you're like the unit of the military that you don't even know exists.
No, Chad's like his version of the military.
Wow.
He's thinking
impressive.
Tom Cruise and Top Gun.
He's got some aviators
on right now for y'all can't see. But no, so you again, I mentioned that because like you're a tough dude in the military. You're not like I barely got in by the skin of your teeth. You're doing some cool stuff. In fact, Chad probably he goes from military to certain point working at Walmart, which is like bigger than the government. Bobby probably started on this SEO stuff because they had him on some secret mission to like wipe out some stuff from the internet that
was
supposed to be
secretly
there.
Going to Walmart and figure out SEO. Yeah, it's all connected.
He invented those internet cookies, man. This is the cookie monster right here. Now, that's a cool part of your story, and I haven't really heard you talk about it too much, but I did want to bring it out because, again, what we've found is that a lot of people who get to the top of their industry, like they've showcased that they just get to the top at other places or that they do something unique and significant or special.
Yeah.
And so, again, your military involvement was kind of unique and special too. And rolling out of that, you're working at a Walmart in logistics and you're doing freelance SEO type work
on the
side. And how the heck does somebody be like, you see that guy at the Walmart logistics place? He's going to help me with my internet website.
Yeah.
This is perfect fit. I got it.
Yeah, perfect fit. Why not? Yeah, Walmart was I say it as a really clean, neat kind of structure from a story standpoint. But really the biggest struggle was coming out of the military. In fact, and my wife would tell you, I met her in Savannah. She was working for Habitat for Humanity, building houses in Savannah when I met her. So she was all tan and buff and hot looking, and you know, we connected and everything was awesome until I got out of the military. And you know, the life, you know, that kind of life in Ranger Battalion anyway, kind of world, it's a very extreme. Like, I don't really know because I don't know the other parts of, like, military. I just know that. But leaving that and coming into, you know, what we typically refer to as, like, civilian, like, normal, you know, day-to-day world, that was a huge struggle. So it wasn't a real neat, clean thing. But long story short, I did land in Walmart logistics, and that was a challenge to me because it was ridiculously hard work, a lot of hours, and a huge amount of turnover. So I actually found that as a challenge.
Okay.
It was in a weird kind of way. It was a challenging enough environment to where I was able to like be like, okay, I kind of fit somewhat in this world. And as such, because there's so much turnover, and here I am with kind of, you know, the ambition or whatnot, the mindset, I excelled very quickly in Walmart logistics. And I was going to college in Lakeland, Florida. That's where my wife and I first moved to. Started in Winter Haven, Florida at the distribution center there. And there's a distribution center in Monroe. If you go down 78 in Monroe, the distribution center there, well, back then, that was only a few years old. And Walmart just spent, who knows, like $3 billion or something to build one of those things. And it was doing really bad. To the degree where Walmart was about to write it off and be like, we're just like,
oh, wow,
this thing in Monroe's not working. We're going to write it off. Before they did that, somebody, you know, the executive level, whatever, had this idea. Well, why don't we pull the highest performing managers from the Southeast Walmart distribution world? why don't we poll them and bring them here to Monroe and let's see if that cohort of people can turn things around. And so I was part of that.
So you did Walmart special ops.
Walmart special
yeah.
ops.
Yeah. It's like the all-star team. Yeah.
So it was pretty cool. I remember my wife and I, we know we were coming here. We knew we were coming to this distribution center in this place called Monroe, Georgia. And we literally, this is before, like, I didn't, there were no iPhones and, like, things like today. So I remember her and I on our kitchen table in Lakeland, Florida, we had this big, huge map atlas, opened it up, and we're looking. We're like, okay, here's where we're coming, Monroe. We're like, to the west is Atlanta. We're like, do we really want to live there? Like, probably traffic's kind of crazy, big city. We were like, what's this little place called Athens to the east? We came here. My wife fell in love with it, and that was 2003. Been here ever since.
That's amazing.
Okay. Isn't so that crazy? So you knew you were coming to for a job in Monroe, and you just got like, yeah, let's – let's check this Athens place.
The only thing we knew was where that distribution center was in Monroe.
Okay.
Pulled up this big atlas on our kitchen table, looked at it, and we were like, Atlanta, no. But this thing called Athens looks like it's close by. Let's check that out.
I feel like they had like different names in Florida too. Like it's all like it's Walmart special ops, like different names, different people, maybe different kids.
His name was Robert Netherlands back then. And he switched over to Bobby Holland.
Exactly.
So, exactly. So at that time, did you know, like, this isn't my end game? Like, I want to own my own business or I want to be an entrepreneur? Or were you pretty comfortable in, like, your role and challenges you were faced with in Walmart and the logistics side?
No, definitely not comfortable. My wife today, if you ever ask her, she says she'll tell you from the second I left Hunter Army Airfield where I was 100% unemployable. Because like I said, I struggled a lot before I even landed in Walmart. Walmart only worked out because it was a very challenging environment and I thrived in that. It was kind of an outlet for me.
Yeah.
If it's not, you know, the Ranger Battalion, then Walmart Logistics, like I can maybe find my way here.
Yeah.
So no, I didn't like it. It was, there was still a missing piece. There was still something missing. And it was really like, then I didn't know it, but today it was really the entrepreneurial, seed, so to speak, that was in me that I just didn't know it then, but that's how, why my wife conveys it today as, yeah, Bobby, he's 100% unemployable. Cannot, Walmart's the exception, but only because that's a challenging enough environment where it's like crazy enough to be in that kind of thing. And I don't want to give Walmart like a back. Things could be totally different today. It's been a while since I've been in that, but it was a challenging environment enough for me to connect to it and thrive in it.
I mean, honestly, man, I think most people are surprised if they just go into a regular Walmart. They're like, this place is a ridiculous operation and it's crazy successful. Oh, but like when we're just in there trying to navigate it, there's probably like, I don't know why. And the same thing with a lot of big companies is like you're in there and you're kind of looking and saying like, man, I'll use another name. How's McDonald's so successful? It seems anytime I go to one, like there's a really high failure rate of getting what I order correctly. And going to Walmart, I might feel the same way. I'm like, I'm not really looking for customer service here. Things are kind of crazy, but I know kind of what to expect so I can get in and get out and make it.
Yeah.
But how do they get to be the biggest company in the world? I don't know. So I think people could probably feel or resonate with what you're saying with that. Yeah. So you're here in Monroe. I got to ask this question.
Mm-hmm.
Did the special ops team for Walmart, Secret Cover, did y'all figure it out for Monroe? I mean, were y'all able to switch
yes.
it, transition?
So continuing that story, I left, which we'll get to with that convergence kind of thing. But the distribution center became so successful. I can't remember the hurricane or some hurricane, huge hurricane came through Florida and basically shut down logistics. The Walmart distribution centers mostly came offline, probably not 100% offline. This distribution center in Monroe basically covered for the entire state of Florida.
Wow.
Because they were so like productive or efficient. So long story short, yes, it got turned around and turned around to the degree where Walmart now used it as a covering for a lot of other Walmarts that were coming offline when it was a specific hurricane. I just can't remember. I could have researched this and had more definitive, like, you know, 2000.
You didn't know, man. You didn't know we were going to drill down on your Walmart
experience. No. Long story short, it did turn around, so it worked.
Yeah.
And I do know that whatever that hurricane was shut down a lot in Florida. This distribution center picked up and covered for them.
Man, that's
crazy. Which is impressive.
Yeah, it's that's crazy. Awesome. So you take like, hey, this one, we're about to shut it down because it's not working. And then it turns into like, this one's so strong that it can support the ones that
exactly.
by Mother Nature had to shut down.
Nowhere in this bio does it say like, hey, I'm Bobby and I turn Walmart around. Like, I feel like there's something missing in here, man. You're like, yeah, you're like shooting yourself.
I did Google Bobby's name and Walmart.com kept popping up. I don't know what it was.
Did it really? Okay. Okay.
No, so how long were you out like Walmart before you started doing the side gig or doing, you know, kind of, I got the night business going on.
Yep.
And then how long were you doing that before you're like, all right, peace Walmart.
Yeah. So, right. So filling in gaps. So I was with Walmart a total of 5 years total. And then started freelance. With and kind of a we can go there's a story you probably want to know the original
I want to hear the real estate story.
The that's the origin of it, and there's no sense to it, but it's a good story. it'll be another one of those like that makes absolutely no sense. But so anyway, filling in the gaps, left Walmart and starting the freelance of what is now today Bipper Media, but it wasn't necessarily sufficient to cover. Because we had kids and family and school and whatnot. So I left Walmart, and to fill in the gap, because I hadn't fully left to the business yet, I got another job I worked for Beneficial. They're not, Beneficial doesn't exist anymore, but it was up, Chick-fil-A up on Atlanta Highway, that shopping center that's behind there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Beneficial office used to be in there.
Okay. What is Beneficial?
Beneficial is in essence, a secondary, like subprime refinance, mortgage finance. So they had the strategy of sending out like checks, literally like checks that you would take, like say 3,000, 5,000 to people, they would cash them. And then that would become like the lead generation system for me.
Okay.
To now be pursuing the people who are cashing these checks. And, you know, let's find a way to like literally use the equity of your house and refinance to get. So that's, I moved into Beneficial from Walmart and I was doing that. And ironically enough, I excelled dramatically in that world as well.
I mean, how you just explained it just then, Bobby. I swear, I saw.
I know, it doesn't make sense.
No, it made sense totally from the special ops thing. Because then I saw over your right shoulder and I heard his voice, Liam Neeson. That whole like, I have a certain set of skills and I will find you. I was like, Bobby Allen, once you cash that check, baby,
we will find you.
Bobby Allen,
we'll find you. He has got you, man.
Yeah. So I did that for a little while. But while in Beneficial, that was a much more like banking hour. Let's just call it banking hours. Mm-hmm. You know, very structured, like start at whatever, 8, end at 4, end at 5 or whatever. Holidays. It was the complete inverse of Walmart. So that, which was perfect for me because it freed up more time. And all the while, one client here, another client doing what I do. And it was really from there that actual juncture happened. And then it came to, we were at Fox Pizza, used to be
on
Epps Bridge.
Yeah.
And my oldest daughter, who's now 22, she was, you know, in high school or something. She was at gymnastics, and I remember the day my wife and I were at Fox Pizza, took her to gymnastics. We went over to Fox Pizza. It used to be on Epps, and we had the conversation. We're like, you can't bring on another client. Like, you just, there's no, like, there's only 24 hours a day. You just can't. And it's either, you know, full-time, like, career, business, job, or you have to stop all that and it's full-time this thing. So that's really the filling in the gaps. That was the juncture point.
So that's where we went from Bobby Holland freelancer to Bipper Media.
It was literally at Fox Pizza, and my wife came up with the name because we're like, well, if I do this full-time, like it needs a name. It can't just be Bobby.
Like a business at that point.
It needs a business name. So she's the one who actually came up with, she's like, well, what about Bipper Media? I was like, all right, I mean, works for me.
Yeah. So, hey, where did the name come from?
Yeah. So the name, my growing up.
This isn't one of those things where if you tell me you have to kill me, right?
No, I'm a young dude.
I got
me growing up and literally so I grew up in New York, born and raised in New York. And for whatever reason, and if you ask my mom today, she doesn't have any reason for it either. My whole life, she called me Bip, even to today.
Okay.
Like if you were to come to New York with me to my house and hanging out with my family and whatnot, you would only hear them refer to me as Bip, B-I-P. And where that came from, I've asked her, and other people have asked her, where'd that come? She has no idea. She just started calling me that one day. So no elaborate story behind it. That's where. And then at that point, at Fox Pizza on Epps, we had to come up with something, you know. And my wife said, "Well, called you Bip like your whole life. Like maybe Bipper and what you do is like media kind of stuff." She's like, "Maybe Bipper Media." And I was like, "All right, sounds good to me." Like it's got to be something other than Bobby Holland.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But the irony of it, what's crazy about that story is we still have clients today that were clients with Bobby Holland back then, and they're still with us.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's crazy. Yeah.
That is.
And they went, like, no matter how many times our team, like, we now have account executives and operators and stuff, no matter how many times I've talked to these clients, and they have, you know, tactfully said, "Hey, you know, like, I know, like, you used to just work with Bobby, and, like, I know, like, you're used to calling a cell phone at, like, 11:30 at night, but, you know, you don't need to do that anymore because, like, I'm here," and they'll be like, "Oh, okay, great." And then they'll just call me at 11:30.
Yeah, they're texting like, "What up, Bip?
How's it going?" I do business with Bobby. I don't know what Bipper is.
It's kind of funny that we literally few clients still with us to today, and they'll only ever just call me or text me.
Dude, that same thing, it's so funny you say that because the same thing happens.
Yeah.
Somebody will send a direct message to Stronger Business on Instagram. Okay. And I'll be like, "What's up?" And they're like, "Hey, is this Chad?" I'm like, "No, this is Josh." They say, "Okay, well, let us know when this is Chad." It is so offensive to me because he's got the great hair and he's also got people wanting to talk to him. They're just like, "Where's Chad?"
My goodness. And then I don't respond. And, you know,
and I'm like, "He's not going to respond to you, but okay, whatever. If you want to feel like a loser, I'll wait for Chad to respond."
So at that point, were you like, "I am a Google expert, we're going to crush this, this is going to be awesome," or were you like, "Oh my God, I'm nervous, I have no idea what I'm getting into"?
Yeah, very, very nervous. Back then, it's kind of crazy to think about, but I think at that point, that day when we were at Fox Pizza and we made this decision, I think we had like maybe 15 clients or something.
Yeah.
Which, you know, now we're possibly bringing on 15 clients a month, sometimes in just a couple week period. So it's kind of crazy to think that back then 15 clients took me in essence to that point, but not an expert at all. The only advantage, I guess, so to speak, is I knew enough to where it was more than the client.
Yeah.
Ahead of them then.
Yes. Okay. And that was sufficient for the client, for the lawyer or the dentist or the carpet cleaner, whatever, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, they knew, like, less than nothing, but they knew this thing Google existed, and you, like, sound like you know what you're talking about, and you have clients, so you're a much better option than me.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how it went.
So, all right, by the way, our podcast name is Stronger Business Podcast. Now, we started off as the Entrepreneur Adventure, and so we, like, we get sucked into entrepreneur stories. I love that you share this.
Yeah.
And yours is so cool so far, too. It's been great. Conversation at Fox's Pizza.
Yep.
Your wife's basically saying, like, "Hey, you got to choose, man. You got to go all in at your career, or like you got to go all in on this business."
Yeah.
And you come up with a name. Two questions. Did she give you a deadline for, like, you got to pull the trigger on leaving your job in XYZ time frame? And then how long did it take you to actually be like, "All right, I'm out. No more of Beneficial. I'm only beneficial for Bipper Media from this point forward."
Yeah. The time frame was when we were done with our pizza at Fox Pizza. Okay.
She let you finish your slice of pizza first?
She did. She did, which was nice of her. But yeah, we were at a critical, you know, juncture with it. And I mean, I guess I don't, like, very shortly thereafter. It's an interesting question. I could ask my wife. She probably knows exactly. But it wasn't too much longer after that I was done at Beneficial. And 100%. Into Bipper Media, doing what I was already doing as more freelance type, which that was even before I even knew this term freelance. Like, you know, freelancer now is just this very common term. You know, I didn't even know what I was.
Making a little money on the side.
I was making money on the side, doing this thing. I was a freelancer.
Back before, like, you freelancing and entrepreneurial was like, it's cool.
Yeah. I was about to say, you were a freelancer when freelance wasn't cool.
So, like, trendy and nice now. Back then, it was crazy. It's like, what the heck are you doing?
All right. Bobby, question. So how long were you freelance before you were full-time business, quitting the job? I'm rolling with it. I love this question, by the way. Don't you love this when we always hear this from people?
Yeah.
So everybody thinks all the successful people, like, give it all up and walk out the door.
You got to take the leap.
Going to build the business.
Right. Overnight success.
And I'm risking everything.
Yeah.
That is not how it works. That's not what you should do.
So at some point, you know, I was, you know, in Walmart. And this gets to the story of really when I started doing what was freelance work, SEO freelance work. We were in Florida, Lakeland, Florida. I'm working at Walmart. And my wife and I, we now had two kids, two babies, right? We have four kids now, but it was at the point where we had two. And we, you know, relatively speaking, we're doing well, right? Working insane, like, the amount of work, but we're doing well. So we go to build our first house in Lakeland, Florida. And this is where, like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't, like, there's no dots to connect to it. Just complete randomness in that process. The, you know, at when, especially in Florida, it's probably the same here. I don't know, but, when there's a new, like, community being built, there's the model homes front. Mm-hmm. And that's where the agents work out of. Yep. They come in, you know, meet people, take for tours. It's just like decked out, immaculate, the model home. So in there, the agents, when I was in there, they were, and I don't know, we were just talking. And they were like, hey, they're like, do you happen to know, do you know anything about this thing called Google? And I was like, Google. And I'm like, looking at my wife, I'm like, I think like Google, like search, like you go there to find things. They're like, yeah. They're like, but that, like, we need help with, like, what we're doing, but also, like, a website in Google. Like, it was a very obscure conversation. And I really didn't know what all, like, anything what they were talking about. Like, here, I'm in Walmart, my wife and I, two little babies, and we're, like, on this path. We're just trying to, like, get our first home built. And this conversation of Google and websites come up, and I'm like, I don't really, not really, no, not a whole lot. And then they told me how much they were willing to pay. For some reason, they thought that I might be able to help them. And they then said how much they're willing to pay. And back then, like, I don't know, it was like maybe a couple thousand dollars or something. But, like, that, like, set me back. And I was, like, in my mind thinking, I looked at my wife, I was like, you know, I actually think it's interesting that you're asking me this, because ironically enough, like, I might know a thing or two about it. So anyway, that's literally.
You're like, this is a new passion of mine. By new passion, I mean, like, 4 seconds ago.
Entrepreneur kicked in, like, yes.
Yeah.
So as crazy as it is, that's the origin story with the real estate agents in Florida and presenting that question to me.
And you said, for that amount of money, I can go learn.
In my head, I didn't say that to them. Yeah, in my head, I was like, that's insane. And it really opened up. It really just opened up, for whatever reason, that small little conversation that we had. It just, like, exploded this whole new world to me of, like, search optimization and website and how all this stuff works. And I got into it from that conversation. I started getting into it, and literally, like, however many years, like, many years later to this day, I'm as passionate and as into it today as I was coming out of that conversation. It was just a whole new world of a whole new paradigm that I just couldn't, especially back then, and even to today, you know, it just takes a little bit of a different shape and flavor today.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things, like, I couldn't learn enough about it fast enough. And my wife will tell you, just many sleepless nights, I would get down this path of, like, learning and doing something. And, like, I just want to go to bed. Like, I just stayed up, even though I, like, Walmart, another, whatever, 15-hour shift is coming. it just wouldn't slow me down at all. It was like this whole new world just like busted open in my mind.
And what time frame was this? Like what year was it? Early 2000s?
Well, we got here in 2003. I was with Walmart 5 years. So now we're going back to, it was early, probably 99.
Oh, okay. 2000. Oh, man. So this is what's cool about this.
Yeah.
Is that in all seriousness, people now, if you say Google, they're like, yeah, everybody knows what Google is. Google is now the term for search, right? Mm-hmm, we don't even say search. We say Google it.
Yeah. But
it wasn't then.
No.
Like even the internet, like I got on the internet for the first time.
Yeah.
In 1999.
Yeah.
That's the very first time I ever logged onto the internet.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I was in college. People think it's crazy if they're younger. They're like, what? And I'm like, yeah. There was no internet for me in high school. I mean, it existed, but it didn't exist for me.
Yeah.
So Google is a fairly new deal going on.
Yeah. Very new.
So you're diving in. What's cool about this, Bobby, is that SEO is, it's always been this kind of Wild West moving target kind of thing. Google's always kind of like moving it around.
Still
like
is.
Yeah, right.
Still is.
And so I just feel like on the immediate front side of this, the entrepreneur spirit's within you.
Yeah.
Somebody says, man, we got this need. Do you know anything about it? You don't. But you're like, but until they say, man, we got this need here, and here's the reward.
Here's the,
and you're like, absolutely.
Yeah.
I can figure that out because the reward's worth it. Also, you probably, I would think this is probably just born in you a desire to help others.
Yeah.
So, oh, I can help these guys for that reward.
Yep.
And then you just continue to be able to like stay passionate about helping
it
others.
It wasn't too fun. Like I do know definitively the anatomy of a search engine was written by Larry Page and Sergey Brin, the founders of Google, when they were at Stanford. I think it was like 1996, 1997. So like what you're saying, even if you go back to like Amazon's origin story, you're back in that time frame.
Yeah.
So the question, you know, if like when I, and I've thought about it many, many, many times over the years, but that you have these real estate agents, it probably wasn't uncommon just for like random questions like, hey, like, you know, it's kind of like in 2007 when the iPhone came out, you know, probably like people who didn't have an iPhone like saw other people and like, hey, like, do you happen to like know anything about this iPhone thing?
Yeah,
like,
what's up with this?
Like, what's up with that? So if you go back to then, it kind of makes sense, even though it's like completely today thinking about it, completely obscure. Back then, maybe not necessarily so obscure. And Google's really not that old at that point.
Yeah.
Like, so to speak. And
no, this is when everybody's still receiving the America Online. America Online was a dominant force.
That's right.
Company, one of the biggest companies.
Yeah.
They're sending out the CDs or
the
DVDs.
The CDs are still showing
they're
up.
They're 25 free hours. I mean, you had the pay per hour for the internet. Yeah. It was just crazy.
The dial-up connections are happening.
I didn't have a cell phone for another 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
You didn't do the internet on cell phones. Like, I had a beeper.
Yeah.
In 1999. Like, this is way back in time. I looked yesterday. This is kind of convenient.
Yeah.
When Amazon.com was starting.
Yeah.
And I think it started in 99, I want to say.
I think so.
Somewhere right around there. But it had a picture of one of their first websites. And this is the time of the internet when you're like, I want to go to this page. And dear God, I hope it didn't have pictures on it because you're going to be waiting 30 minutes for it to like come up. But it was. It was the like, okay, I'm going to go, let me go to Google.com.
Yeah.
I'm going to type it in. I'm going to go make me a sandwich, and I'm going to come back, and the homepage will probably be 75% loaded. I mean, this is just a different time period of internet. Yeah. So these guys were forward-thinking.
They were.
The realtors you're talking about.
Yeah.
And this is why they're asking this question, too. It's like, you couldn't just go Google it and find the answer. It was like, no, this was like the Wild West.
There was no Googling. Yeah.
Nobody knows
they saw
the
potential of this thing called the internet and this thing called Google, and they were just, you know, I think in normal conversation, they were thinking about it. And
that's
we just happened to show up when they asked, hey, do you happen to know anything? And so, but then now there's these two parallel worlds, like to me, you know, in our life, in our world, and really in my mind. So Walmart Logistics is jamming. We're doing what we're doing. And there's this SEO world in parallel. And like I said, I couldn't learn enough, read enough, absorb enough, do enough. You know, like I taught myself how to build websites. And you look at like when I think about the technology back then, there was a thing called Yahoo Site Builder all the way back then. And I don't even think it exists today, but there was no like Duda or Wix or WordPress or things like that where things are now much easier. Back then it was like you had to hard code. Like if you wanted to do anything, you had to hard code HTML and CSS and That's where I learned. So there's the Walmart world, and then there's this parallel, you know, website SEO world that I really, that's really where all of my passion was. And then over time, just one client here, one client here, one, you know, over time, it just kept progressing.
So you found your passion.
Yeah.
You found something that you just dive into, the research, the learning, the serving clients.
Yeah.
And now over the years, you built this incredible agency serving an incredible number of clients, mm-hmm. and just built an awesome model. What do you all focus on now as far as the things to keep growing in Google search, and what things do you teach your team, and do you teach entrepreneurs and business owners, hey, here's what you need to know and here's what you need to focus on?
Yeah. So, I can only speak kind of to our world.
Yeah.
Like what we tell clients all the time is that, like, look, like what
do we need to know as business owners, and is like,
you've been doing SEO since SEO started. You're like, ultimately, and this
the
is
OG in
SEO. I mean, for real, because if you think, like, right now, you know, cryptocurrency is something that's hit mainstream. People are all over it. There's crypto.com. I mean, and they've sponsored the Lakers home arena.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. What you were doing with the internet and SEO is the equivalent to people that were engaged in the cryptocurrency conversation like 7 or 8 years ago.
So, yeah.
When it was like Bitcoin's just coming out. And
right.
So you've
when
been,
Bitcoin was like a dollar.
Yeah. I mean, really, people are like, this is never going to work. When that some dude bought a Domino's pizza with, like, you know, 3 Bitcoin or something, it's like $1 billion now.
Right.
So, yeah, going into, I mean, you're like the OG. You've been riding the SEO wave since the beginning of it, which gives you an amazing platform to be able to speak. And what we're talking
that's
about.
That's true. I hadn't thought about it like
that. Yeah. You're like, you're welcome.
Thank you,
Bobby.
Thank you.
We're your marketing partner.
I appreciate that.
But what our listeners.
So now Bobby's turned Walmart around and pretty much been the founder of SEO.
And cryptocurrency. I gave him cryptocurrency too.
I love it.
Bipper Media was almost called.
But really, for
Bitcoin
real.
For
dude,
a second.
Yeah, from the beginning.
So our tips. I mean, everybody's listening to this. They're like, all right, what are the tips or what are the keys?
Yeah.
If I want to grow my business on Google, Bobby, like, what do I need to do? By the way, and Chad hears this. He works with a lot of startups. He's a startup consultant. He works with a lot of startup businesses.
Mm-hmm.
In my industry, I hear this question all the time.
Yeah.
They're like, how do I get people to my website?
Sure.
How do I get, I mean, which is ultimately what SEO is about. Yep. It's driving traffic, right? So what are the tips and the keys? If I'm like, all right, I'm getting started, or hey, I'm trying to get bigger or better.
Yep.
What I need to know to grow my business
with
Google?
What do you need to do? Yeah.
Unfortunately, that is all of the time we have for today. Please join us again next week as we continue this conversation and dive deeper into the question of how do I leverage SEO and grow my business with Google. Until then, remember, a stronger business begins with a stronger you. We will see you next week.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Stronger Business Podcast, then leave us a review and share it with a friend. You can find us online at strongerbusiness.com or check us out on Instagram or Facebook @StrongerBusiness. We look forward to hearing from you and have a great 2022.